Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, Easter, they're fun celebrations. And what I think lots of people enjoy about them is the time they get with family.
The parties.
With the meal. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I love those times.
And in the summer, many times there are not banquets, but meals that way, but a picnic where you
Fourth
invite
of July.
Family and friends and everybody. Yeah, isn't it great? It's an interesting thing that we as humans, we kind of congregate around food.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, lots of interesting, fun activities happen, conversations, friendships, all around food. And in fact, today in room 4216, that's what we're going to find Jesus sitting at a table, having a meal, but then talking to the people around him. Shall we go into room 4216 and hear him?
Let's do it.
Well, today we start a new chapter, chapter 14 of Luke. How about we read verses 1 through 6?
Certainly. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say.
Well, first, I think we probably should talk about what is dropsy.
I did some research, and I was a bit surprised. They say that dropsy that's what they called it in older times. Mm-hmm. It's a swelling of the arms and legs.
Really? You mean it's not having something in my hand and dropping it? Dropsy?
That is awful.
Well, that's what I thought for years. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. they swell up and they look like blisters.
Mm.
They form. And they often break open.
Oh.
And by the way, I'm saying this from experience.
Mm-hmm.
Dropsy is what is today called lymphedema.
Oh.
And I'm sitting here with my feet elevated and special wraps on my legs to compress them, because if I don't, legs will develop these blisters.
I would think
break
there's
open.
Several of our listeners who have lymphedema.
Ugh.
Now that you say that,
and it's so not fun.
No, and I suppose it would break open.
First of all, it's not comfortable because you've got to wipe the water off your legs, and then second, it can cause some serious
infections, and that would be serious in Jesus' day, because they didn't have medicines to cure infections like we have today. Okay. Well, the second thing, and really the primary thing about this healing, is it took place on a Sabbath. The Pharisees were really after Jesus because he kept doing stuff on the Sabbath, healing people. He ate some wheat once in the field. And the problem was the Pharisees were trying to say, you have to do this and this and this and this in order to keep the Sabbath day. And if you don't do all these things, and they had a huge list of things, you were breaking it. You were sinning.
And these were not things that God commanded.
Not at all. And so Jesus, well, in chapter 6, he told a man with a crippled hand, reach, stretch out your hand, and he healed him. And it was a Sabbath day. They were all shocked. And in that response, this is the first time it happened, a miracle on the Sabbath day. Jesus said that, which is better, to do good or evil, to save life or destroy it? He was very pointed about that. But they still didn't get it. In fact, we read it in the last chapter. A ruler had even said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day. He was really upset. But what did Jesus do for this crippled woman? He healed her. And he even referenced how you take your ox or your donkey and untie him and give him water. You do the kind things. And here in this chapter, he's talking about if a son or a daughter falls into a well. Jesus is trying to point out that what is most important is humanity. He said it several times, in fact. The Sabbath was made for man. Can you finish it?
Man was not made
for the Sabbath.
For the Sabbath.
Yes. Yes, that, yes, we are to keep the Ten Commandments, but let's not get so legalistic that we get so tied up in it, because really what God is concerned about is our hearts, that our heart is seeking him. The Ten Commandments are a guide for us, but to make these dozens and dozens of rules of the Sabbath, about the Sabbath, that's not how we keep the Sabbath day. But rather, it's, well, we've talked about it before, hearing God's word, like people are doing right now, and then trying to keep it. While Jesus was at meal with those Pharisees, he told a parable. And do notice it's going to say parable. Cecilia, would you read verses 7 through 11?
I will. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding banquet, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Hey, Cecilia, you know, we all like to be acknowledged for things that we do. And you know, it's sometimes hard for people with disabilities. Room 4216 is a lot of people who are blind are listening. Mm-hmm. And so we often aren't acknowledged for things that we do. Can you think of a time you were acknowledged and honored, or were you ever part of an honor society or something for your activities?
Actually, I was.
Yeah.
I got into the National Honor Society when I was in high school, which didn't mean we had a lot of meetings and official stuff, but I got to wear a special stole with my graduation gown.
Graduation. So it kind of gave you a prestige and thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, this dinner that Jesus was at, when he was talking, he noticed that people were kind of vying for the special seats. And that's what this was kind of about. The people wanted to be acknowledged. They didn't have high school and graduation like we do today, but they do find ways to acknowledge and be lifted up and praised. And at dinner engagements, this was one of the ways, the closer you could sit to the host, the more honored you were.
Ah, and like so, being put at the head table.
Yes, yes, exactly. And that's what Jesus was noticing, is that type of thing. And again, we who have disabilities don't often get them, at least we don't think we do. Probably is the average of everybody. But and some people I know don't want acknowledgement. They just want to be their quiet self. But I think we all like to be acknowledged a little bit of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus used this concept to relate how you shouldn't go for the best place, but sit at the lower place and be brought up. That way you'll be honored in front of everybody. Now, what's amazing is Jesus wasn't just giving us good social advice here. It said, and I even noted it before the reading, it's a parable.
Earthly story, heavenly meaning.
Okay, so we got the earthly story. Don't lift yourself up, be lifted up, keep yourself humble. How can we then connect that to the spiritual heavenly meaning? Any thoughts on that?
Well, it does say somewhere else in the Bible, in the New Testament, not to seek your reward now because you'll have it now, but store up treasures in heaven.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep.
And I think that means being humble.
Yes, very much so. Because the opposite of humble is
prideful.
Prideful. And that's what Jesus was trying to help people see spiritually. If we're prideful, hey, I'm a good person. God will accept me. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I do all the good Christian things. And look at all the treasures I've put, all the wonderful gifts and service I've done for people, the money I've given or the service I've given. Whatever it be, if you point to those things, you're exalting yourself. And Jesus is trying to point out spiritually, we ain't got nothing.
No, we don't.
And before God, we should say, I'm a humble, sinful person. Please forgive me, God. And that should be the only thing we say to God other than, thank you for forgiving me. I think this is as easy as you can get with the explanation of this parable. Don't exalt yourself by thinking you're a good Christian. Instead, see yourself as God sees you, as a sinful human being that he forgives and that he loves. When we put it in that perspective, then we are fulfilling what the parable is talking about. Well, Jesus takes this opportunity not just to tell the parable he just said, but he's going to go on to speak something more, which is not a parable, but straightforward conversation to you and me. And so you, most honorable guest host, no, you're not a guest host, you are the host of Room 4216. Would you please read verses 12 through 14?
No, but as your lowly servant, I will.
Oh, okay.
Then Jesus said to his host, when you get a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Well, this passage sure gave me a lot to think about.
Oh.
First, is Jesus saying that we can't invite our family and our friends over to share a meal and fellowship with us?
Hmm.
Like the Christmas that I spent with you and Deb and your family. I had a wonderful time.
Oh, we did.
And then we're supposed to invite the poor and the lame and such. A, how do we know they're not going to steal from us? Hmm. Or how do we know that they're not going to become dependent on us feeding them all the time or giving them things all the time? C, how do we know they're not going to harm us? And D, not to mention the fact that we are sometimes among the poor and the lame and the blind.
Yeah, we are. We are. It's a interesting passage. And I think this one ties together very tightly with the previous parable, though, as well.
But this part's not a parable.
It's not a parable. Nope. These are just statements that he's just speaking out. Yep. No, he's not saying you can't have a meal with family and friends. And that is it. That's not what this is about. More to the point, what Jesus was saying is don't have a party so you get invited back to another party. Why are you doing this? Just so you get patted on the back. That's what he's saying, because if you do it only for those comebacks and feedbacks and equal back and forth, you're only climbing the social ladder. Instead, he's saying, do it for the right reason. Help those who are in need. The people he mentioned are people who are very much in need and would never, ever be able to go to one of these things. And most of the time, the people that were probably sitting, like the Pharisees, probably would have said,
ew. Yeah.
And those are the people that actually need help. And you're doing it not so you get a pat on the back and an invite back, but you're doing it to help somebody, which is interesting because the parable talked about be very humble. Don't lift yourself up. So here Jesus is saying, okay, do this. Now, hey, if I do this, hey, I'm Mr. Super Spiritual Man because right? I have helped the blind and the lame and the... No, but what he is saying is even though you need to be humble before God, don't let that stop you from doing good things. And what are good things? But helping people who are in need. Ah, just like he helped that man who had dropsy on the Sabbath day.
There are things we can do to help people in need. I mean, there are places that serve dinner on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we could go and offer to pass
help
out.
Sure, or I remember you doing something at your church, helping to with the collection of things that were put together with a backpack.
I love that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we have to invite people technically into our homes per se, because there is that security issue of our being harmed or stealing. Okay, but the point is why are you doing these things? Are you doing it just to get a payback? Are you doing it to truly go out of your skin to help somebody? And that's what Jesus was trying to point out. And you can go out of your skin and help people in many different ways, And that, because that's exactly what our God did for us. He got out of his spiritual skin and got into our skin, flesh and blood. And he died on the cross.
He did.
Yeah, to help the poor, the blind, the lame, because that's how we all are before God. Poor, blind, lame. We are, as you said, we sometimes are those people. Well, physically, earthly, yeah, sometimes we are. And believe it or not, Cecilia, it's not just you and me who are blind, but almost everybody is in that point of stage sometime in their life. They need help, whether it's when they're a baby, an infant, a toddler, or when they're a senior citizen and they can't go get their own groceries. They can't go to the store. Mm-hmm. Everybody is in these situations. And he's trying to say, look around, help, and do it knowing that you're doing it out of thankfulness for what God has done for you. Well, Cecilia, let's continue on in Luke chapter 14, verse 15 and following.
When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field, and I gotta go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I just put 5 yoke of oxen, and I gotta go try them out. Please excuse me. Still, another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
Pastor Dave, you know, over the years, we've done a lot with this here oral transmission thing, and you've had me do a lot of different voices. yeah. And when you told me to work on this part, I had it sound just normal, like I thought it should sound. Yeah, but then you said, do it this way. And I thought you were crazy.
And that's why I asked you to do it that way, because what these people did was crazy. You didn't say no when it was a banquet like this for two reasons. One, this guy would have been filthy rich to invite so many people. If he wasn't the king, he was darn close to it. And if you were rich, you would lose face if you didn't go. Or if you were poor and you didn't go and you gave excuses, he could have killed you. And so it was just a thing. You go no matter what. And that's what the absurdity. These people made excuses. And the people back then would have heard this in Jesus' conversation, how absurd it was. And then what did and now here's the other thing. The master would have lost face if nobody would have come for this banquet. And so that's why he had to invite everybody to fill the place so he wouldn't be embarrassed. And the point of this was, the man in verse 15 said, oh, blessed are those who sit at the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is pointing, yes, they are blessed. In fact, do you know how blessed they are? They are the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those who are out on the streets who shouldn't be invited, but are. That's you. That's me. Because we are poor and crippled, blind and lame spiritually. We don't have anything that we can give to God. We don't have riches. We don't have any standing before God on our own. We're invited to that banquet feast just simply because of his generosity.
A certain man held a feast on his finest stage in town. He laid a festive table and wore a wedding gown. He sent invitations to his neighbors far and wide. But when the meal was ready, each of them replied, I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come.
Oh, thank God for his generosity that invites us all the time. Even sometimes when we fail or give excuses, he just keeps coming back and inviting us. I guess that's why we call it the grace of God.
Yes.
And the love of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone.net. N-E-T.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn. The Wedding Banquet by the Medical Mission Sisters.